The board's usual 2 p.m. comment session got off to a bad start, delayed for half an hour with scant notice due to an extra-long morning session. Then the two dozen or so people from the Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez waited through another six speakers before the first of them got a turn at the podium. Several then denounced the county's response to the community's grief and outrage over the 13-year-old's death at the hands of a sheriff's deputy as slow and inadequate. Included in the comments was a translated letter from Suje Lopez, Andy's mother, read to the board by Gail Simons. Here's an excerpt.
She says, quote, "You sit there," she's speaking to the Board of Supervisors, "while a group of citizens cry for justice, for a better world in the name of an innocent and beloved boy named Andy Lopez. I hope that his name will resonate with you in your mind every second of your lives, and is present in your mind with every hug or kiss you give to each of your sons and daughters, and perhaps grandchildren, and that maybe by mistake you mention the name of my son when you send your children to bed, and to each of your children say good night to Andy Lopez."
The letter, sent from Southern California, where the Lopez family now lives, also called on the five board members repeatedly to resign. But it was another earlier letter that galvanized many of the protesters to speak out at this particular meeting. Susan Lamont explained this letter was the first action taken by the board-appointed Community and Local Law Enforcement Task Force last September.
It was asking Sheriff Freitas to reconsider his decision to put Gail House back on the street. It wasn't even saying you should. It was pretty mild. And they sent it early to the supervisors. The day it was presented by the task force to the supervisors, then Supervisor McGuire asked to have it read aloud, and then President of the Board, David Rabbit, refused to read it.
Sheriff Freitas did send a reply to the task force, in which he said he saw, quote, "no legislative reason not to return Deputy Sheriff Gilhouse to his assignment on patrol." But Lamont is pushing for a more substantive response, in part because the task force hasn't.
We have asked many times the task force to respond to this and say it's displeased. They may be doing something behind closed doors, and I think they are, because we have heard that they know that the supervisors have said, no, we'll consider it when everything else comes in. I haven't heard anything to indicate that the task force has said, hey, wait a minute, we sent this to you early for a reason. So we're here to say we really expect this to be considered. We want it on the agenda sooner rather than later.
But as the speakers in the board chambers became more vehement and more personal in their remarks, and one bluntly refused to stop despite repeated requests from Board Chair Susan Gorin, she declared the board would take an immediate one-hour recess. The supervisors exited to their room behind the dais, while the thinning crowd in the meeting room was ushered out and the room was closed and locked. Meanwhile, the next round of policy recommendations from the Task Force's Subcommittee on Law Enforcement Accountability, which could be the most controversial of all, are due to be made public next Monday evening. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.